find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
This is Dirk Lance from East of June, and you fuckers are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, everybody, welcome on back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Chugging along 330-something of these episodes. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Scotty. I'm excited to announce that Verbal Shenanigans will be the exclusive podcast of Parler.
We're
going to fit right in there with all the, right-wing propaganda kind of... Nothing but truths and verbal shenanigans.
That's what we've been going for. So, hey, if Parler is going to give us a dedicated audience, we might as well sign up there, too.
I wanted to know what it was, but I didn't want to give my information. So I tried to look up my old boss's information to see if I could create an account, but I guess he changed his number or whatever. Because it asked for an email address and a phone number. I'm like, I don't want to give you either. I got to be honest. I don't mind junk mail, but I don't want Parler email flooding my gates.
Can I sign up the podcast? Can I just use our verbal shenanigans email?
Go for it. I don't... I'm intrigued at how this looks. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it is. I suspect one of our friends is on there.
Oh, yeah.
Moved over to
there. I can think of a bunch of guys that are probably on there now. But is it... Someone put it best, like, no one's actually wants to go to a social media site where everyone gets along and says the same thing. They want to be on the site where they could be contradictory and comment on people's threads and stir up the pot, if you will.
Yeah, but if you're on a site where, like, everybody's on the same boat, I mean, are you really going to gain? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like if I go into a room with a tinfoil hat and I scream, the government is working with the aliens to remove Mountain Dew from our diet. And everybody goes, yeah, that makes sense. What am I going to do after that statement?
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people agreeing. What is that going to do for you? People go on these things to just pick a fight. Like I know several people on Facebook. I'm like, oh, here we go. This person comments on everything. These people, they make controversial things to try to get people to comment on their thing so they could have hours worth of entertaining going back and forth. The worst is when you, like, post something that's, like, I don't know. Like, every once in a while I'll throw a little political joke, the slightest of jokes, and then I get, like, 10 comments going on by two other people arguing back and forth on it. It's like, damn, man, I was just going for a joke.
Yeah, I think my wife, and this was pre-election, this wasn't like in the mega hub of our we're going to get you kind of deals and all. She put up, I guess, some kind of like picture of Jimmy Carter where it's like on his 95th birthday, he was celebrating by building another house for a house for humanitarians. And like
Habitat for Humanity, you mean?
Yeah, and it was one of those. You know what I mean?
But in any case, for like, humanitarians. Michael Berlew's new thing. Do you like to help people? But we're gonna build a house for you instead.
I sign up for that, and it's like a right wing thing, and all. What? I'm building for Nazis? What the hell? But she put that up. And like somebody said, well, I guess you're overlooking Iran. And it's kind of like that happened before I was born. What the hell are you talking about? Like, It's just like, isn't this nice? The guy was president. He's 95 years old. He could be sitting in his house, just like patting himself on the back, and he's building a house. And then it's like, oh, well, let's get political here.
Of course. Of course. That's what we do. Well, we don't do that too much here, Berlo.
No.
If anything, we try to take a fair look at, you know, when really super political things are going on, like the election last week. But we're not a very political podcast. One, because it's pretty much covered everywhere else and every other cast and every other friend you knew. And two, we are too stupid to really give you any cutting edge points or know what's going on. So
I will say one point. I will say what I shared with you, where England celebrated by having a female mascot that looked like the female Gritty, the Flyers mascot, dancing on a pole for victory. I want that every election. I don't care who wins.
For a second, I thought that was like a Philadelphia thing. I'm like, I wouldn't put it past them to have like a slutty female furry counterpart to Gritty.
I mean, it fits our bill. I mean, just like anything, like even in a riot, we could imagine like a female Gritty on a Crisco light pole, just like dancing around on that. It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's us. Go Philly. Go Union. Supporter Shield winners this year.
Oh, yes. So if you're just tuning in, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. We are, that's Mike, I'm Scott, and it's our weekly installment here. We have a massive back catalog of really interesting guests and episodes. So if you enjoy what you hear today, go check it out. And today is no different. We have some really cool guests on the show. But before we get to that, Mike, I see you are freshly home from Disney World again.
Yep. No matter, it truly proves, even in pandemic, the wife can find a way to get us to Disney. Just freaking amazing. And going into this, like when it all first started, I'm like, all right, this is going to slow down. Clearly, this is the rest of my life.
Right.
Why I even bring up stuff like Europe or something like that.
Yeah. Like, I think if we went back on the podcast, like maybe once a year, we went to a seminar where you're like, yeah, well, the next vacation is my choice and we're going to X, we're going to wherever. And you're like, we're not going to Disney again anytime soon. And then about a year goes by and we're podcasting. And I'm like, hey, Berlo, you're back from Disney again.
Yeah. we had another conversation about this. So let's see what happens. Fingers crossed, 2021. Kind of a, I won't say last minute thing, but kind of what springboarded it was a person that she knew was camping on the campgrounds over in one of the resorts at it's called Fort Wilderness, and you can just like add people to the account without increasing the price.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those, it's like, all right, in essence, it's free board and you're just paying for the trip and food and stuff. So that's where I was kind of like, all right, and Disney's not playing around with the Florida open everything up thing. They still abide by their 25% rule. That's why I'm kind of like, I'll be lenient. Tough times. You're depressed.
Let's go ride Dumbo. Right. Let's go on the Dumbo ride.
Yeah.
Now, so how long did it take you to budge on that? Was there any pushback or you were just like, here we go again, we're going again?
There was kind of pushback when it was initially brought up to me. And kind of my pushback was we were signed up for some of the Disney marathon runs or half marathon runs, where I'm kind of like, okay, you're asking for this. We got this marathon coming up. You got this one coming up. You're talking about you want to get pass holders for Disney, which is twice as much when you don't live in the state. And you're talking about some kind of marathon thing in 2022, where I'm like, there's got to be an end to this.
Yeah. Like what level sick of Disney are you at this point? Like, are you dreading going there? Are you like, okay, here we go again? Or are you still enjoying it at this point?
I will always say I still enjoy the trips. It is a fun time. Where I get irritated, it's kind of like what I said, like before this whole, oh, there's a thing called COVID happened. It was 2021, my vacation, not right. Not negotiable, not, oh, wait, what if? It was supposed to be like my thing. And I kind of relayed it on the sense of, you know, we're pretty much doing this. You're taking this away from me again, and I want you to understand, no matter how much you tell me, oh, we can still do it, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not a guy who just, like, flings money away.
Right.
So I just want you to realize you're taking from me.
Okay. So take us to Disney Trip 7.0 or whatever it is at this point.
Yeah. All right. And I'll preface this with one of the... the marathon in February that got canceled, and I'm guessing that the other one's going to be canceled, where we're going to have some openings in 2021. So might go back my way. I can't wait
till you're at like some other Disney resort or Disney something or other, or I can't wait.
Scott, let me break it to you. Like,
Hold on. Let me write down the time code on this recording real quick.
Yeah.
So we can play it in six months.
Here's my point. I'm a Washington football team fan.
Right.
So every year I go into it, I'm like, it's not going to be as bad as last year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I keep on saying, this time I figured out some stuff. And this time it won't break my heart and they might not be so bad. And then I get into the year and I go, lost to Daniel Jones again. And live with life. But I digress. So, yeah. Trip was very good. We slept in a tent for a couple nights in the campground. Campground was very nice. Very fun scene. Like, people put up, like, it's like a tradition down there on Halloween. They're like, people go years and years and they set up their campgrounds and they put on like these full, like, haunted house kind of either like decorations or exhibits or stuff like that. So there's like a long history of it. So it was kind of cool.
So you go into people's haunted tents and come in.
Now I'll preface this with, I still have modern fears of COVID. So I'm not jumping into stuff like that. Kids did do like trick or treating or whatever, but anything, it's like we got a golf cart, we rode around the campground and saw the different displays, but still kept our kind of
come
distance.
Come in to Berlew's haunted tent. Ooh, sir, there's nothing in here. Exactly.
Except your host. But yeah, I have some interesting stories I will go through from the vacation in total. So I will start with day one. We went to Epcot, and they're doing the food and wine festival down there. So they got the usual stuff, and they got like extra like food kind of, I don't know what you call it, but they put up like different things where you can go into lines. It's like, here's Hawaii foods, here's Japan foods, different layouts like that and whatever. So I went into one line for some mimosas. They had, I believe it was tropical, key lime, and something else or whatever. So I tell the wife and her friend, I'm like, all right, I'll go into line. We all wanted like the different ones. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get three mimosas. So go up. I asked for three, and the guy's like, is there somebody else with you in line?
Ah, the two limit?
And yeah, that's why I kind of look at him like, well, there's my party right over there. And the first guy I deal with is nice. He's like, well, you know, we got a rule. You can only buy two if you're a single person. If somebody else with you, you can do three. So, you know, you can get two, come back in line, and get the other one. Hey, great, whatever. Get my receipt. go up to one gentleman who grabs a receipt to yell to somebody, okay, get two of these to go to the next window, grab my two mimosas, hand it off to the girls, go back in the line. Of course, by the time I go back in the line, like nine other people magically want mimosas. So I have to sit back and wait and go through that. As I finally get up to the register, they kind of switched people. And I get the guy who was the one I said I handed the receipt to. And I can tell this is the kind of guy who wants to like show off or something like that. Like he looks at me. He's like, sir, I believe I saw you a couple minutes ago.
Sir, are you sucking down mimosas on me, brother?
And I said, well, the guy said, you know, you can only buy two at a time and go back. And he's going through this whole explanation of, sir, we can't have people like buying two and chugging them and coming back in the line and buying more. You need somebody else to get in the line. Meanwhile, there's like 20 different like these pop-ups there. They're all serving alcohol. So literally, you could walk around in 10 minutes and get ossified with no problem. But this guy is like holding on to the, I'm going to get a management job next to Mickey freaking Mouse by doing this kind of deal, like power move kind of deals.
I'm going to be Pluto by next year if I keep working as hard.
Yeah, like he wasn't even like nicely saying, oh, sir, I'm sorry, there was a miscommunication. Like, he's just like, he's like lecturing me on the rules and all. So, like, off the bat, got me pissed off about a mimosa. Then on top of that, as a side note, I came back later, got the key lime one. It was disgusting. I went back now, to the girls and said,
I'm curious,
basically,
what do they bang you for a mimosa in Disney World these days?
I think that was eight per mimosa.
Not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's not tragic, but since there's, like I said, 20 other boosts, they know they're going to get people because all people do is go to the next one, the next one, the next one. So
of course,
they don't have to go crazy on one. But so I go back and explain the thing and all, and they're like, oh, there's some mimosa left and all. So I just chugged them. What I wasn't told before I chugged them was apparently the friend of my wife, her kids are there, and the kid was like, I want a sip. And she goes, okay. And the kid apparently like licked the entire cup, the glass, like literally like a tongue.
Ew, man.
Like, my wife did not explain that to me until after I just chugged it.
Oh, come
so
on.
I'm like, right there, I'm like, you know, we're playing a game, like doing this with somebody we don't really know, but that just put it to another level.
So you right got a nice COVID mimosa.
Yeah. Yeah. Very refreshing. Very refreshing right there. So my next story, we'll go to day two.
So one time when I was we were probably 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was at the old Meadowlands, the old Brendan Byrne / Continental Airlines Arena.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a Nets game. And I'm not a Nets fan by any means. We were just there at the game, a bunch of guys. And
I'm not sure there's been Nets fans until they went to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It was basically like Dr. J, a big gap, and then they're back in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So now me and my buddy used to go to Devils games pretty frequently. That's kind of what we did in our early 20s and whatnot. We'd catch a Devils game for $20 or whatever, you know. And we used to always be able to get a beer. You know, they weren't like crazy back then about checking IDs and stuff like that. And I always kind of looked, I didn't look like a baby back then. I kind of looked a little older. I mean, I used to be able to get two beers or whatever. So I went and ordered two beers, got the two beers, and all of a sudden some guy in a big yellow jacket, ATF or whatever it is, Alcohol Enforcement Agency or something like that. Sir, come here. You know, the whole, are you underage? No, let me see your ID. And then I actually had to get taken to the innards of the Continental, and they sit me in a chair and they told me I was banned from banned from future Nets games for what whatever it was for.
See, the punishment is like now you got to take these season tickets and show up every night. That's how you punish a New Jersey Nets fan. Oh, come on, man.
You have to sit next to Derek Coleman. Yeah, and he kicked me out, and my buddies were still in there, and I like waited in my friend's car and like called him. I'm like, dude, I got kicked out of the arena. And he was not happy with me, put it that way. Yeah, so apparently I was banned from Giant Stadium, and I think it was like the whole Meadowlands facility for a couple years there. So
yeah, and we're talking like 90s where it's like, you know, you don't have like that face recognition stuff where when I come back in like 3 months, you're going to remember me. Shut up.
Yeah, honestly, it was probably like the year. It was probably like 98, 99, 2000, somewhere around there. Maybe 2002, something like that. Where either in high school or just out of high school. I can't remember. But yeah, so I got kicked out.
Side note, I got a text from the wife. Basically correcting me. Nobody gave the kid permission to get a sip. He just grabbed it. And apparently he didn't lick the glass. He just shoved his tongue into the liquid.
Oh, even better. Maybe he was just... Yeah. Did you ever think that maybe he was being kind to you and stirring it for you? He noticed that it was separating the champagne and orange juice and he was just stirring it?
Maybe he figured I was somebody important and he had to taste it for poison.
Exactly. What was the name? Yeah. Wasn't that one of the jobs we read for you one time? You were like a taste tester for like a king or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he just looked at me as royalty and boom.
See, exactly. Maybe he thought you were like one of the characters. He was like, oh, there's there's the Beast, there's Mickey, and here's
Mimosa Mike.
Yeah, that last Toy Story got weird, you know?
Yeah. Woody's like, that's it. Forget you, Anthony. All right, so let's move on to day two.
Day two.
Now,
Mike, I did notice a high uptick in more outfits in some of the pictures.
Yes. Are we? Because it's Halloween.
Oh, Halloween. Gotcha.
It's Halloween. And basically what Disney did this year was like usually they have a thing called
If you wear a costume, a kid will come out and stir your mimosa with his tongue.
Yeah, did not read that ticket. Really should have looked into that promotion. But they basically since they didn't do their usual festival. They basically allowed rules where people could dress up a little more, which it was a cute thing. Like everybody was in like different stuff. Like nobody was in like any full on furry costume or anything where we're sitting back going, okay, watch your kids with this person. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of why a lot of people are into costumes.
We're seeing the evolution of Mike people. We're seeing it every Disney trip. It started with you didn't want to take pictures and you didn't want to wear the ears. Years later, it was customized shirts, and it was the photo package with Tinkerbell like hanging on top of you. And now we're seeing more out. Mike, it's coming. You're becoming a full-on Disney wacko.
Yeah, basically, it's evolution. If like the monkeys were screaming, I don't want to go to be humans, and on somebody just dragged them, you are going to be a human.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I am. I'm a kicking, screaming monkey. Essentially, I digress.
Yeah, you're doomed. By the next one, you're in full Mickey Mouse head, everything.
All right, so Scott, you know, I'm giving tours now in Disney. I don't know how I got the job.
I can only talk like this now on the podcast. I can't break character.
But I'm keeping to my own vacation in 2022. Right. So let's move on to day two.
Okay.
So we're in Magic Kingdom. And I should preface, like, my wife's friend, she had disability passes. So any ride we wanted to go on, we could, instead of sitting in line, we can go up to, like, the front of the line with the agents and basically say, hey, we need a time.
Wow.
And they'll give us a time and we'll come back and
did you scan it did in. You act to, have to act like you had a disability too, or
well, this adds this is a story. So
So
we're in day two, and I'm watching the kids and all. I mean, their kids are hyper, but nothing out of the ordinary. So I pulled the wife aside and I'm like, what do they have? And she's like, no, they don't have any disability. I'm like, well, we've been hanging out with the wife. What does she have? She's like, well, she was in line one time and she had a panic attack. And basically, one of the cast members had to come by and help her out. And they basically told her, you can't apply for a disability.
Oh, come on.
So that is why they have disabilities. So
she has a panic attack. Buzz Lightyear comes and calms her down. And now she has a free pass.
Pretty much. Come on. So
this is scamming the system 101 here.
Yeah, that put me in a little weird spot where I'm kind of like, it's one of those, we're taking it because we're there. But at the same time, I'm like, I feel icky.
I picture you going to the front of the ride and like passing kids in wheelchairs. And then it's like people with cancer next. Then it's like veterans. And you're just like, it just keeps getting worse as you, you go forward.
Mm. But So I'm weirded out by that, but we go up to Splash Mountain, and the girl tells her kid, stand in line with Mike. I'm like, all right. So we're at the end of the line, and I'm like, probably looking at about a good 40-hour wait. Then all of a sudden, she goes, hey, guys, come along with us. So I'm like, all right, I guess she used her band disability to kind of get us through the line. Mm-hmm. So we're moving up, and all of a sudden she goes under a rope, and she's like, come on, these are my friends, and she introduces us to another couple there and whatever. And I'm sitting there, and we clearly passed about 30 people, and we didn't use the disability line. So I'm like, I pulled Izzy aside, I'm like, I think we just line cut here in Disney. It was like it was so weird. She's like, no, I think she used her pass. I'm like, well, we're not at the front. The pass would bring you like through the fast pass line all the way up to the front. There might be others there where you wait behind, but you don't come into the middle of a line and just sit there.
Right.
So that was like, again, it just adds to the awkwardness of the, you just figured because your friend's in line, you found out where they were, and you just joined them?
Oh, man.
It's just like, ew.
Now, how well do you know this person prior to me? This trip?
Me? Zero.
Okay.
Absolutely zero. My wife knows her. I'm trying to it's from like a running group. Like, this was the first time we ever met her.
She does races from the back of the line to the front of the line.
No, she's in our like yoga / runners group or whatever. She does like a lot of the Disney runs or whatever and all. So I had that kind of moment, which was kind of icky. And then she, her kids were kind of like, they wanted to go back to the, to the campground, do swimming there, whatever, because they live like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
So it's just me and Izzy for the rest of the day there.
Right.
And then we had another interesting line encounter.
Okay.
We're in line for Pirates of the Caribbean. It was about a good 45 minutes, and I like the structure. I mean, like, it always looks longer than it is. Where you look at it like, oh, I'm not getting in that. But it's all with the spacing or whatever. So it moved kind of quick. So I'd say quarter through the line, as we're going, we see this guy open up the chain of the line. And then he starts pushing in this woman in a wheelchair with like an oxygen mask into the middle of the line.
And it turned out to be our friend again.
No. It was a different person. And like there wasn't, it was just weird because like, again, middle of the line, this wouldn't be like the disability line. And they just walk in and then she like announced, it's like we're, it's like the line was kind of moved. She like yells at Izzy, ma'am, I'm going in front of you. Like, sorry, give attitude. So, okay. All right, you know, I'm not sure in the pandemic, even though they had these precautions, you should be going out in the public with a oxygen mask or whatever to go ride Pirates of the Caribbean. But
so be it.
Another little funny thing we found out about the lines is, you know, they got these green stripes to kind of say, you know, wait here to tell you where each spot is. But I guess at one time they set it up where like they had dual lines. So like it'd be like 6 feet on the line on the right. And then like the next batch would be 6 feet for the left hand side. And there'd be another 6 feet there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like gaps. It's not precisely six, but you can't always tell sometimes. Like you pull a corner and you don't realize, oh, well, there's a quick one right there. Or like an 18-foot difference or whatever. So we get in that situation where we're kind of moving up. It looks like it's going further than it should be and whatever. And the woman turns her head to Izzy and she goes, you stay there. Like next level on her.
Okay. This is Oxygen Lady.
Oxygen Lady, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know,
terrible Izzy's superhero. awful X-Men.
Yeah, Disney, I know you don't have all the rights to Marvel in Florida, but Oxygen Lady is not going to take off. Nobody's going on that ride. I'm sorry.
Mimosa Mike and Oxygen Lady is just not cutting it.
That would be a good matchup though, but so she upsets Izzy and I understand like Izzy's not like broken or anything, but she's like, can you believe the nerve of this woman chatting like that, whatever. And I'm calming her down, you know, we're trying to get through the ride. So we come to a part where like the line does like a U-turn. So she'll actually like go up, swing around Oxygen Lady and go past us.
Right.
So it kind of ticked me off. So I told, as she was about to move over, she does the U-turn thing. I told Izzy, go up to the next spot. I literally stayed there, and I had to give Oxygen Lady the look of death under a mask with my big top hat with a skull on it and my shirt. And I guess I did a pretty good job because she looked at me, and her head literally flipped back like this. And like I could tell she didn't say a word for the rest of the line.
I was hoping this ended with you just sneaking up behind her and just taking her oxygen and going, shutting it off and going, shh, go to sleep.
Well, I grabbed the balloon person's helium and I connected it up. And it was really funny when she was yelling at me like a chipmunk because she was dying.
Shink, shink, shink. Just closing her mouth. Wow. So what we're learning here is COVID Disney is full of really desperate, interesting people, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But there's more, Scott. There's more to my Disney story.
Well, let's hold on to the last story for after our guest here.
Okay.
We're about a half hour in, so I think it's time to give our guest a call. And we have, now I know we're shifting gears pretty strong here. We're going from dirtbag Disney people to a really great group of musicians. But hey, if you're tuning in, this is kind of what we do on the show. We literally talk about what the hell happened over last week or play some stupid game. And then we bring on a really interesting guest to break up the monotony of us talking about our boring lives. Yeah, so coming up on the show, we have a really good band coming up. Now, if you were a fan of Incubus, which I was a massive fan of Incubus. For years and years and years, especially their early stuff, the bass player Dirk Lance was a very big part of that band. Great bass player, great songwriter. He has a new band now called East of June. And we're going to be joined by all three of the band members. So we're going to be joined by Dirk himself, the vocalist Emily Rath, and guitarist Kyle Mortensen. And they make up a band called East of June, which has just really started putting out songs, putting out tunes. They're working on a bunch of things during this pandemic, and they were really good guests. So let's get East of June on the line.
Boom.
So I guess we'll get started. So first off, Dirk, Emily, Kyle, East of June, what is going on, guys? First off, thanks for giving us a few minutes on the show here, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is cool. I gotta say, Dirk, it's really an honor to talk to you. You made three of my favorite albums growing up. In fact, okay, I started playing a Warwick bass because a brown wooden Warwick bass because I love the tone you were getting back in the day. So this truly is an honor to talk to you. I just throw that out there before I ask you anything.
I mean, I never get tired of hearing it. It's kind of like somebody saying, I started having sex because I saw you having sex. And it seemed like...
Well, I also did that. I didn't want to get into that part, but...
You started it. So.
Yeah, you're responsible.
So I guess I'll start here. You guys have a newer project, if you will, and some new tunes coming out and whatnot. I guess I'll start with the whole pandemic shutting, you know, kind of live music down and basically entertainment of all kinds. Did you guys use that as a positive to record songs and be able to get in the studio, or was it something where it kind of halted your momentum?
No, I think we chose this time specifically to be like, let's make sure this does not halt our momentum, because, you know, obviously we could never have predicted how long this would happen, but we've been working really hard for a long time. So we're like, you know, we just have to figure out a new way of doing this.
Yeah, I think, that, you know, it's funny. We were going to be stressing about playing live and, you know, putting together the rest of the band and oh my God, that's going to be so challenging. And then that all kind of ground to a halt. And it's like, okay, so you guys are still here. You're still in. We're in. Okay. What can we do?
Right.
And writing and recording became the thing that we could do.
Yeah.
Yes. Like my tiny bottle of beer. My tiny bottle of beer.
You don't got much left in there.
No, I'm going to pee a lot later.
Yeah. Dirk is serious about his music and his electrolytes. That's for sure.
You can't mess around with the electrolytes.
So tell us a little bit about how the band came together. From what I was reading up, like, it was just like some kind of like side project to write a song. And then out of the blue, the three of you just said, forget about it, we're a band now. I mean, is that kind of the gist?
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, it really started out, you know, Dirk and I have been friends since high school, and I was close with the guys in his old band, and, you know, I was an intern at their label and kind of just was involved early on. We stayed friends throughout the years, and I really got involved in the business and playing music, because I've been a musician since I was like 5 years old. By the time I hit my 20s and got out of high school, I was like, I started working more on the business side, and music itself, as far as me creating, kind of went away. It was probably just the last like 10 years or so, and with like the emergence of Pro Tools and stuff, I started like just working on things in my house behind the scenes to just like keep the creative juices flowing and do something fun. And I started working a little bit more seriously on demos and ideas. And, you know, when one of your best friends happens to be, you know, in one of the biggest rock bands in the world and has sold 10 million records, it's always a great sounding board for, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Right.
You know, I just kind of started bouncing ideas off him and getting feedback. And then sure enough, he's like, well, have you ever considered this? What about this? And the next thing you know, he and I are kind of like demoing out songs. And he had a really good ear for taking ideas and things I had and be like, put this here, then go back to this, and like actually making songs and structure out of it. And so we just started working together. And, you know, I happened to stumble across Emily's Bumble profile. It's saw that she was a singer, and
no.
I
she had a for real?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much how we met. And we were, Dirk and I were like big fans of artists like Portishead.
Yeah.
And Sneaker Pimps and Fleetwood Mac. And we just really love female vocals, so we were just really open to finding a female vocalist to lend melody to our songs. And that was pretty much how I found Emily and sent her an email, and we got together like a couple weeks later and started working from there.
That's kind of hysterical. Like, Emily, was you like, were you like, yeah, okay, this guy Kyle's like, first he's trying to get date me, and then he's telling me, yeah, I got the basis from
your DMs.
I got.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's funny. Like, I don't even think I remember that I had my Bumble profile up there. So I was like, I get this email out of the blue, and I was like, hey, I'm Kyle. Like, there's this project I'm working And I saw that you sing, and if would you be interested in talking about collaborating? I was like, okay, like, it's so random. And then we started to have a phone conversation the next day, and I was like, how did you find me? He's like, so I'm on Bumble. But like, I'm just trying to do music, so it was totally cool. And like,
I told you, man, yeah, this you don't understand that this is him playing long game.
So I know this is how the Beatles got together.
Yeah, this is 3 years and a lot of money for the long game. And I'm in on it.
And I'm sure you've heard probably like every pickup line and every story, but like, yeah, I got the basis from Incubus and your Bumble is probably not what you expect. Not what you expected.
You really got to sell it, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, starting a fake band to get chicks is like the coolest idea ever.
Write a book.
I mean, you want to be in my band?
So
we got songs.
Yeah,
songs.
We've had like so many really awesome artists on like during this pandemic, and it's interesting to hear how people are using their studio time or how they write. As far as you guys go, what is your like, what's your writing process? Is it one guy comes with an idea and you jam on that? Is it jam and then go back and figure it out? Is it someone has a song acoustically? What's generally the process for some of the songs we're hearing on Spotify and whatnot right now?
Well, I mean, you guys are familiar with college, right?
Yeah, you know, I did that once. I did that once.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like a graduate program when you put out your master thesis to somebody, mm-hmm. and then a review board goes and tears it to pieces. So one of us will be like,
"Yeah,
what do you think of this?" And the other two will be like,
"Let me go shit on." I didn't.
Why would you even think I'd be interested? And somewhere when the dust settles, like the back and forth dialogue begins, and then it, you know, the ideas sprout and grow, and eventually turn into songs, but they're rarely completely fully formed.
Yeah, I feel like we all like it all happens in like every way of making a song. So like a lot of times, you know, Kyle will come up with a guitar part like for Little Bird, our single, and right. and then I sort of like played with the lyrics around it, and then Alex or Dirk came in and did all the, you know, shaping and the bridge and all that. So and then like sometimes I've come up with just like, I started learning guitar and I'm terrible at guitar, but I presented an idea with a couple lame chords one day and it became Count On Me. So that, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not really like a specific formula. You know, there's been times where there's just demo ideas that like some of our early stuff was like, you know, demos that Dirk and I had been working on and Emily then sort of put her top line on. And then as we became a band and started working more together, you know, there's like a song called Lonely Wolf that had yet to be released. That was like the first thing we all sat in a room together with like two acoustic guitars and just did it from scratch, you know, on the spot, on the couch.
Right.
So it's definitely usually like someone has a riff or an idea or some sort of parts, and then, you know, to a certain extent, we're kind of beholden to what, you know, Emily sort of resonates with, because she has to really have a vocal idea for it to become a song. But yeah, it's really that push and pull between the three of us for sure. You know, I think the art of compromise is something that we're all really good at amongst the three of us. Cause sometimes it's like, you know, we may hear things like completely differently, but it's a little bit of that tension that then gets us to another place that none of us ever saw that the song could actually get to. And then you have that, oh shit moment. Like, right. we found it. And so I'm really proud of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys even like have a vision for what the band is, or is it so laid back that you don't care where you go with it? Because the reason I ask is like, I looked at the YouTube for your video Rebel, and then I see the first video and it's like a Rob Zombie, almost horror-like kind of vision. And then the next video is the acoustic with Emily at the piano. It's looking all sophisticated and everything like that. So is that you guys just like playing with things, or do you have like a single kind of note of this is what we want to be like?
I mean, I think when you get to be my age, that that literally you do what interests you,
right?
Because the idea that, hey, I got one lane and I got to stay in it. It's like, no, man, I'm kind of like on heavy medication and I'm going to cruise across lanes in the freeway. And like the whole point is just not to hit the center divider. Everything else is just a casual approach to driving.
Right.
But
yeah,
as you transition from lanes to lane to lane, you want to make the best statement that you can. You still want to write the best songs that you possibly can. I just think that when you get to a certain age and you've written a certain amount of music, you realize that, like, your influences span at this point 40 years worth of shit. So like I personally can't be pigeonholed into, hey, you only play this way and you only hear music that way, right, dude? You like, yeah, you play bass in a rock band. It's like, well, okay, what rock band? What is a rock band anymore? You know, yeah. I grew up listening to really eclectic stuff. So mm-hmm. I like eclectic stuff, and it's all about where the inspiration kind of strikes you in the moment. And then it's, you know, you take that picture of that moment, and then you take another picture on the next one, and you take another picture, and by the end, you've got a, you know, photo album. You do that.
Yeah. And I feel like we all come from like such different musical backgrounds that it's like when you kind of mesh all of our perspectives and ideas, we've really tried to treat each song as its own project and, you know, whatever it should be. So that's something that we kind of enjoy exploring, because I feel like we can be a lot of genres, and that's kind of what we want. And, you know, we've obviously done very like Little Bird compared to Rebel is like
very different.
Definitely hugely different. So
definitely genre agnostic, but all about the song. It's very song, it's all song driven. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's sort of where we all meet. You know, there may be a day where we do like 10-minute Tool odysseys where we just go off and riff out for a while. We get to sort of explore that area. But yeah, to echo Emily, we definitely wanted to approach everything as like its own art project, if you will. So the visual expression for us is really just about capturing the essence of that song. So something like Rebel Acoustic, for example, it's Emily and a piano, and it's just very, you know, sophisticated, as you said.
Right.
You know, or something like I Can't Feel It had a little bit more of like a, you know, a disco kind of throwback 70s almost kind of vibe. And that was where we kind of pulled, you know, with the editing style was pretty much lifted from the original Thomas Crown Affair from like 1967, I think, the polo scene.
Right.
If you actually go just search that on YouTube, you'll kind of see where like that idea was derived from. So, you know, I think when there's a lot of music that it has yet to be released that will be released over the coming months and year. And I think when you get a glimpse of some of the other things that we've been working on and how the music has evolved, you'll start to see the common thread that weaves between the entire story.
Yeah. I mean, like I took, like when we were setting this interview up, I kind of took a deep dive into kind of everything I could find on you guys. And like, you know, I'd listen to one thing and be like, ah, I got their sound. And then I'd check the next thing and be like, no, I don't have, you know, like I don't have it. So it's definitely, I could see you guys definitely rounding out some kind of like a very eclectic kind of sound, which is cool, which is actually what I enjoy. So my question is kind of two ways here. So Dirk, is it hard for you, or is it refreshing to you, to kind of go from the you know, the biggest parts of the music industry to being able to just start from the ground up again, something brand new?
I think the word you're looking for is humbling.
Humbling, I guess. Okay.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. And I think the benefit of, you know, going back to me being elderly is that I realize what it takes to actually take a musical project and go through the various iterations that it goes through. And you know, I've spoken a lot recently in on Zoom classes more than anything else for people who are looking to get into the music business and understanding that this thing's a grind. Like if you want to stay in your garage, stay in your garage.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe enough in what you're doing, you got to go through all the steps, and no one, you know, succeeds overnight. So I kind of knew what I was signing up for when we sort of launched this thing, in the sense that I knew that it was going to take a while, but if you're passionate about the music, then the journey is the process, and it's what it's supposed to be. The cool thing is that, you know, I've won the musical lottery once, and I'm buying a lot of tickets to win it again. Yeah, yeah. And basically you can't win if you don't play, right? I think that's something that's been beaten into my head repeatedly. So, you know, I'm having fun with it. I spent the day with, you know, two of my friends being silly, talking music, filming stuff about being in a band, and we're doing this. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it.
Right.
You know? So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Humbling, but fun.
So it's kind of so I want to swing that to Emily and Kyle. Was there, when you guys formed this, now I know Kyle, you said you'd known Dirk for a long time, but was there any kind of like, oh crap, like this guy's done everything, I have to prove myself? And then also, was he able to kind of teach you guys anything, Emily, quickly?
How awesome and amazing is it to work with me?
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Who are you asking, Kyle or me?
I'm asking both of you. Like, when you guys started, was there any like cautiousness at all, or like,
I mean, when I walk into a room, does it seem like the sun shines brighter? Is that what you're dealing with here?
I mean, my room got brighter. That light's not even plugged in.
Yeah, definitely just like a cloud that sort of comes. No.
I mean, I speaking for myself, I mean, you know, Dirk and I have been friends for so long. It was never like, oh my God, you know, Dirk Lance is like, you know, my boys in my room, like giving me feedback on my stuff, and then he wants to collaborate. It's like, cool. That's never really been there. I think if anything, especially early on, when we first started working on stuff, and we had some of the early demos for like Let Me In, Way to My Sin, and Rebel before they became what they became. When we first started like mixing, I really was like a sponge. I just wanted to like listen to like how he heard certain things and how he would be like, you know, like he had ideas for shit, but I was just like, is this guy fucking crazy? And then you try and do it and you're like, oh, okay, now I see where he's coming.
Right.
You know, it's just like, or you just be like, oh man, your guitars are so like in the EQ, like you got to bump those up here. So just go really, really shrill with it and then slowly bring it back until it just sits right in that pocket. And you're just like, oh, now I get it. And then you'd be like, you know, let's stand in the back of the room and let's face the speakers out and kind of like hear all the parts. Maybe the guitar needs to sit over here. Maybe my bass needs to be mono. And it was like, okay, I get the method to the madness, and I've really taken all that feedback to heart, and now I feel like he and I are just like pretty much on the same page. We get into like mixes and mastering, like we hear a lot of the same things, we catch a lot of the same stuff.
That's great.
And
that's,
I mean, the dirty secret in all of that is I'm actually legally deaf, and I'm just totally making all this shit up.
No.
So with So with everything that's been like shut down, like what have you guys been working on specifically? Are you getting ready for when everything opens up, a tour? Are you just writing new music? Are you just shooting the crap, for lack of a better term, on future plans? What's going on?
We're working our fucking ass off right now.
Yeah. We have a lot of songs that we've been working on, and especially we're going to just try to nail as much out for the rest of this year, and get really tight rehearsing wise. And you know, we want to do the whole thing. We want to go all the way. So we have a lot of songs that we're really excited about that I think, you know, will be even more like, oh, that's a new take on another style of song, and that we're, you know, excited to share. So
it's awesome.
I mean, the plan is to play live when the world allows for that kind of thing, and in the meantime you stockpile material and you get better at what you do and prepare for what you can do when, you know, the zombie apocalypse is over.
Mm-hmm. At some point. We definitely want to be ready. We want to be ready when the world opens up. We don't want to wait till the world opens up. And then, you know, we want to be able to strike while
they're
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was watching like the live stream you guys did where you played live, and I noticed you had like you had other musicians with you. Now, when you guys are doing like when you're making songs that have these extra parts and these extra layers, whether it's synths or anything, do you kind of like as you're making it, do you think about at all like how are we going to do this live, or is that like an afterthought? Like, okay, how are we going to bring this show live, or maybe alter it a little bit?
We certainly do now. I can tell you that you can have a real good idea, and then you're like, oh shit, we committed that to like metaphorical tape since no one actually uses tape anymore. And right. Now, like the bar has been set here, and you've got to figure out how to at least get to the bar or, you know, over it. But we've been really fortunate that even pre-Rona and during the Rona, we've been able to get people into the bubble with us by, you know, testing and doing other things like that. You know, you go take a test and suddenly, you know, you have a new sexual partner. I mean, musical partner. and so like you get these people in, and so keyboard player who played in the live stream is in the bubble, and he's in the trust tree with us and, you know, working on music. And we've just started assembling Voltron in the wings, ready to like help us with all the things that we want to do. Because, you know, when we started this, it was just us going to be writing some songs and maybe giving them to somebody else, and, you know, and then you guys figure it out.
Gotcha.
But then it became a band, and now you've got to figure out like, well, who else is going to be in the band? Because it's not just vocals, bass, and guitar.
Right.
There's got to be a drummer. There's a lot of vocals and harmonies. You need somebody else singing those. You got to have somebody playing keys. So yeah, we're going to end up like Arcade Fire with like 40 people. I'm not kidding. I was just, before we jumped on this interview, I was just watching a live Arcade Fire show, and I was trying to count the amount of people on the stage, and I think I stopped at like 14.
That's like when I saw Paul Simon on he did Graceland. He did like a thing with Brian Wilson. It was actually really cool. But he had this full band, and then you could not count the amount of members. It was just, It was five percussion guys. It was a group of singers. It was everything you could think of. It's great.
Well, one of the best things I saw on Saturday Night Live a number of years ago was they did a segment called New Cast Member or Member of Arcade Fire. And they were bringing I can't even make this up. They were bringing people out, and they had like a Jeopardy style thing, and they were asking questions, trying to figure out, if are you a member of Arcade Fire? Because it's like so many of you and no one knows who you are. Or are you a new cast member and no one knows who you are on Saturday Night Live?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys have a good time, and I was going through your videos. I will have to say my favorite video is Dirk introducing the band while in front of a fireplace with his smoking jacket and his chest hair just pumping out right there. Is that just your natural outlook on life, Dirk? I figure it's like they're like, oh, we got to shoot this. So you're like, no, that's my backyard. We got this.
Look. I would lose my goddamn mind if I took anything seriously.
Oh, he takes it.
I just don't. I mean, I have so few fucks to give at this point in my life. And one of the earliest difficulties that we ran into as a band is that, you know, as you're trying to navigate, like, what's your image? Yeah. How do you want to respond to people? And Kyle and Emily are like really trying to be precious about this. Like, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Because I don't like anybody, and somebody's not going to like that. And you know what? I'm not going to care about it either. So
it's also just like this frustrating PC culture that Dirk does not subscribe to. So we're like, should we just say F it? Or I don't know.
You're going to say fuck it, and you're going to put it in all caps, and you're going to skywrite it and stuff like that.
It's certainly
so to briefly answer your question, no, I'm actually quite respectable and sophisticated. This is all.
Let me ask the other two. Does Dirk always make himself seem like he's 1,000 years old? Because Dirk, you're not that old, man.
I know he's not. I don't know why.
It's like Indiana Jones. It's not the years, it's the miles, honey.
Right.
And yeah.
You know.
You've done a lot, so I can.
I got rode hard and put away wet.
Personal terms. I mean, we're not even that many years apart, and you're like, you know, I'm at the age where
I fucking only have one kidney, and like my liver is probably the size of a walnut, and you know.
Well, I did want to get to that before we don't, like, you know, how has your, like, you kind of touched on your perspective completely changed. Like, how do you guys balance, like, I don't know your individual family situations as far as like music, but how do you guys balance kind of, you know, family life and writing new music and then the grind that goes into getting new music out and becoming, you know, relevant and trying to play? How do you guys balance that part of your life?
I think it could be summed up with one comment that Emily made. I don't know if it was 6 months ago or something. Uh-oh. She's like, God, this is like a full-time job.
Without pay. It's fun, number one. So, you know, enjoying doing what we're doing, but it's totally like we're talking every single day. We're working on marketing stuff. We have a little, you know, team of people helping us with PR and interns. And, you know, it's just like managing it all. And it's weird, but like the blessing in disguise of this year, at least for me, is like being able to like spend so much time and focus on the band because music, yeah. You know, it's like, what else? Like we're, you know, it's keeping me sane. It's like, you know, the thing I want to do and all that. So
yeah,
man. you figure out the time
and
you do it.
Yeah. For me, it's like, how bad do you want it? I mean, you know, I've been a business owner for 12 years now. And I've just, my work and personal life, the lines there have always been so blurred. You know, I've never really had a 9-to-5 where I clocked in and clocked out. So for me, it's just like, how bad do you want it? You know, there really are no days off. If there are, they're few and far between and you enjoy them when they come along. But, you know, I look forward to when my text messages start blowing up at 7 a.m. from Dirk. Yo, can you talk at 15? Yeah, I mean, this guy and I are on the phone like 3-4 hours every day.
Yeah.
Just discussing what we're doing, where are we at, what's on deck.
The romance is real.
Yeah.
Love it.
We work hard. We definitely work hard, but it's all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If East of June did a cover song, what would be the guiltiest pleasure song you would cover?
Guiltiest pleasure, that's interesting.
I gotta like ponder that for a second. That is a well thought out question.
Thank you.
It's not. He thought of it 8.5 seconds ago when it was his turn to ask.
All I can tell you guys is even a stopped watch is right twice a day.
That's true. All right, I'll throw one out there. I think you guys could do a badass cover of the Cardigans' Love Fool. I think you got all the pieces to do something really cool there.
That's interesting. They came out the other day.
Really?
Ooh. That's a no-brainer.
I know.
We got the like Norwegian blonde thing.
You got cool bass, female vocals, great, you know.
I own a sound sweater somewhere. these things write themselves.
Just saying, I think you guys can make it cool.
But I think what's interesting is the guilty pleasure adjective you use, because there are songs we've talked about covering, but throwing the guilty pleasure thing in there is a little bit of a curveball. So, God, I'm
Michael McDonald. yeah, the guilty pleasure does put a different twist on it, because there's a lot of, you know, bands that have written songs that we really like, grew up listening to and admire. But then maybe what you're saying is like, what song do you have no business actually enjoying?
Like Britney Spears or something.
Yeah.
You went in Toxic or something?
Yeah.
I'm in.
There you go.
Well, that could be fun. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Guys, I really like the stuff I'm hearing. It's a real pleasure to talk to you guys. I think you guys are on the right track to putting on some really cool stuff, because I think you have earlier in the interview, very eclectic sound. So I feel like it's all heading towards like a good album. So if fans are kind of listening to this, or people are just like, oh, there's a new band, or East of June, let's check them out. Where can they go, and what's in the future for the band soon?
You mean besides going to hell?
Well, yeah, that.
That's eventually coming. But.
Yeah. I mean, we're on everything, so you can, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, subscribe, eastofjunemusic.com. We're all at East of June, so.
Spotify, Apple.
We're trying to be everywhere.
OnlyFans.
Ah, Dirk Lance OnlyFans might be out there already, though.
Just
ironic and sophisticated.
Wearing that smoking jacket.
You should do that at the fireplace. Just do some OnlyFans streams.
You hear a lot more music from us. Our best stuff is yet to be released.
That's awesome, guys. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. Good luck. Stay safe for God knows how long this thing goes on, but we hope to see you on the East Coast one day playing some tours so we can come out and see you guys.
Yeah, totally. Much
appreciate
Thank
it. You're welcome.
All right, Mike. East of June.
Yeah. Looking forward to their stuff coming out, man. Really good band.
Yeah, maybe, there's not a lot of live venues to play, so maybe the next time you go to Disney, East of June will be rocking one of the stages there. You, Oxygen Lady, Mimosa Licking Dirty Kid, Take Advantage of Disability Pass Sally, whatever her name is. You guys could all enjoy your time.
Man, this X-Men reboot's really weird, man. But Scott, if you thought that was everything, there's more to the Disney story.
All right, so we got to crank our minds back from really cool band, really fun band, and now we got to go back into the dregs of society, apparently, that are at Disney World during a pandemic. Now, curious question about Oxygen Lady. Does she have a mask on over her oxygen?
She did, yeah.
All right. I didn't know if the oxygen, like, well, I guess it's like in the nose. So, yeah, I guess they're still. I didn't know if she had an oxygen mask that counted as a mask.
Nah, it's the nose hookup kind of deals and all. It's still something where it's like, really, this is worth it for you right now?
Yeah. She's not at any risk of anything going out in public like that.
So, this is still also on kind of day two. So we're getting off of a ride and I get a call from our pet sitter, Emily. She's taking care of our cat Dubba and our dog Callie. And she tells Izzy, I'm really sorry to bother you during your vacation, but Callie caught a squirrel and it's in her mouth right now and it's twitching and I don't know how to get it out of her mouth.
Okay. So in your mind, are you like, oh, Jesus, just let her kill the squirrel and figure it out? Or are you like immediately thinking of ways to, all right, how am I going to get this squirrel out of a dog's mouth?
Well, I tried to help out as best as I could. So like I told her, like, if you hold the dog by the jaw bones on the bottom, you should be able to like kind of pry it open. That's what I always heard, like kind of weakens the dog's jaw bone. And I also said, you know, you can put your hand over her nose where she'll want try to open up to breathe through her mouth.
If you catch another squirrel and throw it one way, she'll drop the one she's focused on.
That's why we keep 20 squirrels in the attic. When she catches one, we got plenty of backup. And I don't know why, but Izzy's like, well, Callie listens to Mike, so maybe you could put the phone by Callie. So okay. I didn't even think about it at first. So she's like, okay, the phone's by Callie. She puts on speaker, and I'll just kind of back up so I don't blow up the microphone. So I'm literally in Disney World holding on to a cell phone. Callie, get, drop it. Callie, what did I? Callie.
Oh, God. They definitely thought you just like had Tourette's and they're just like, yep, that's why he's in the disability line. Like,
yeah. Yeah, needless to say, there was like at least 12 different couples staring, and I'm just like, all right, this is not a part of the plan anymore.
Judging by the people you said that are there, you probably just fit right in. People probably didn't even notice.
They just thought I was part of her extended family or something. Like that. So, yeah, and we tried to, like, we told her, well, she hates water, take her to the hose. And she was in the backyard where we didn't have a hose, so she was trying to drag Callie to a spigot to, like, pour water over her.
Jesus.
To drop it. And I don't know how exactly it ended, but eventually Callie dropped it where she was able to pull her away. And there was this weird moment where we had to say, you know, if you don't mind, can you grab a garbage bag and pick up a dead squirrel and throw it away for her?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. On a side note, I'm guessing that squirrel fell out of a tree and was like near death or something like that, because Callie is not that fast to catch a squirrel. She wants to catch squirrels, but there's no betting odds I would give on her actually obtaining one.
So. Yeah, my dog, like, we'll let him out to pee. There'll be a squirrel or a chipmunk out there. He'll take his three steps towards it and just kind of like put his head down and be like, like, oh, well, yeah. that was fun.
He knows what I would do.
I scared him off. That's what I mean. Yeah. I scared him off.
And then we go to the third night. Really nothing major to note. I will say it started off weird in the sense, on top of we went to get breakfast, and my wife's friend, her kid was screaming and trying to poke her with a fork, where she had the let me pull to grab the kid and leave the restaurant as he's screaming kind of moment while we were sitting there.
Right.
It was kind of interesting. And then on top of it, as she had to like work out stuff with her, we made it to Animal Kingdom before her. And she's like, well, since you're there, why don't you just go to Avatar and use our disability to get us a time? And that's kind of like a weird moment. Like, always before, it was her going up and getting the scan and setting it up. It's just such an awkward feeling.
I don't like this. I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this. This is making me mad.
Yeah, I mean, I even kind of discussed with the wife afterwards. I'm like, you know, it was great to kind of have, but brutal honesty, it was like one of those, it's like, ew, after you realize how you're using it kind of deals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all cordial and everything. I mean, they scan the badges like, yeah, you're under the reservation with the person with the disability. So it's not like, what's your disability? Who's there? Whatever.
They weren't like, but oh, you're the guy who was yelling at the phone to drop this girl. Come on in. Go right on.
Don't startle him. He hates squirrels. It's fine. Don't talk to this gentleman. Just let him go.
Can we make sure Chip and Dale are nowhere?
Yeah, they're on the boat Animal Kingdom, and I jumped down to grab them. It was a weird spot.
Please make sure Chip and Dale are clear of Magic Kingdom.
Then, like, when she got in to the park, as we were like texting her, okay, where we're meeting up, figuring she was coming to us, and then figuring something out, she went to the other side of the park, so we had to walk like 2 miles to find her. And then we went on Expedition Everest. Now, she doesn't like my wife's friend, she doesn't like roller coasters. She can't handle at least the backwards parts, so she can't do Expedition Everest. So we took her one child onto the ride, and we had to wait in line.
And he licked the entire mountain.
No. He was the other kid. There were two kids involved. Licker stayed with the mother.
Oxygen lady. I got it.
But you could tell he's kind of used to it, because he was like telling us, this line's forever. Why don't we just use the disability?
And we're like, oh, God, Mike.
We're like, we don't have a disability. Yeah, but this line is long, yet we don't have a disability. This line is long. It's kind of like one of those, oh, God.
I don't like this. Yeah, what is going to happen to you now? Are you going to be like, become Santa Claus in December where you ring the Salvation Army bell and just keep all the money for yourself? Like, what is this going to start? Is it going to start like a Better Call Saul situation here?
Listen, ambulance I didn't come chaser. Up with this plan.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one of those, you get a nice stereo from your uncle and then you find out months later it was stolen. It's one of those, yeah, I could say something, but it's already here kind of deals.
I'm not happy with you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just very, very unhappy with you. You're letting our audience down. You're bringing the caliber of the show down. Now, what are people going to think about us?
If they think anything about us, that's an improvement. That's the bottom line. And I think it's pretty much it. I will say I kept my odd streak of getting Charlie horses in Disney continued. I got one on the third night. They really tucked those covers under pretty well. So I kind of like tried to push my leg to get it out. And it was really hard and got a Charlie horse around 3 a.m. on the third night.
I'm really just starting to save money now to follow you around with the documentary crew because I just picture you like, yeah, 2 days in, no Charlie horses, we got this, and then day three comes and you're like, no,
trying to bite my lip and all, honey, you okay, Charlie horse, why don't you walk it off? No, if I don't walk it off, it doesn't count.
This isn't happening again.
Wow. Well, you walk 12 miles every day on asphalt. It basically, it's bound to happen. And add to it, it's humid and you have limited water there. So,
how does the oxygen lady get around?
In a wheelchair.
What, like a motorized one? She's probably not.
No, she had a guy pushing her.
Of course. And she did.
On a side note, like every time she would make, when she was getting mean with my wife and all, like, you could tell he was one of those whip kind of guys where it's like, very good, honey, kind of deal. He put his head down. It was just like, oh, man, you're used to this. You know what she's like.
Well, Mike, you have certainly, reinforced a lot of the reasons I don't want to go to Disney right now.
The wife is already saying she can't wait to plan one for Shay.
No.
I'm telling you, you're doing the same thing as me. I commend you for it, but it's bound to happen.
Oh yeah, I'll probably take him when he's like, I don't know. I feel like I would want to take my kid to Disney when he'll remember some of it. Like I went in fifth grade, I think, and I think that was a good age, like 10 years old. When you do have some memory of it. I think when you're like, I don't know, 5 or 6 or something like that, they're not going to remember a thing, which kind of stinks because it's so expensive too.
Yeah, if you bring them before 3, they don't charge you. But, I mean, that makes no sense, really, if you're doing it just for the kid. But, I think my first one was about 7 or 8 or so. I mean, that 7 to 10, that's a good ballpark for, okay, this is going to be a lasting memory versus the we went there kind of vacations.
Like who knows? We come down there. By that time, you guys are going to be – you're going to have your own jazzies, oxygen tanks. You're going to be like, yeah, let's get ready to go into the park. And you're going to be slipping and falling, returning things that were perfectly fine to get free passes. I don't know if I could live like this. I don't know if I could stoop to the new Michael Berlow level.
All right, chat, just hear me out. You want to go on Space Mountain. All you have to do is stand in front of me as I yell at you, that, put that squirrel down, Scott. That.
You guys are going to be like Me Too-ing Mickey and Pluto saying they did something to you. I don't know. I don't know if I like this new Berlew.
Well, I'm still the old Berlew. We did pumpkin spice, whatever, 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, actually. And, I guess the end of the vacation, as we were driving back to Georgia, almost saw my first flipped over tractor trailer in front of me.
Oh, yeah. You probably caused it somehow.
No. He was like in front of me. Like the funny thing was like 2 minutes before, like I was having a discussion with the wife about going to a brewery to having to be like off the exit down there. It's like, all right, there's no other time I'm really going to be doing this. This is perfect timing because most of the time we're leaving on like a Sunday wherever we want to get home. And this was like perfect because I had the day off. And then as the discussion goes back and forth and all, we see a tractor trailer basically just goes off to the grass, destroys a sign. Then it goes down a chasm, goes up the chasm. And I'm just sitting back away. I'm like, all right, it's flip over time. And that dude had some like Jeff Gordon, Mario Andretti kind of skills with the car control. Cause I don't know how he didn't flip it over, but he kept it up, brought it back up and onto the road. And then I had four beers from the local brewery.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have that reverse. You probably had four beers from the local brewery, got in a car, cut off the tractor trailer guy, and he went up the chasm, and that was the end of him.
That would explain why the woman was so scared when I was wearing that hat and giving her an evil eye look. That makes sense. I mean, it was at the end.
Mike, I need you now. You need a karma cleanse. Like, you need to be doing good deeds all week. Like, you need to be donating to charities and donating your time because you have scammed the system, my friend.
Listen, I feel dirty, but it was not my scam. I was pulled into the scam. I'm the person on the third level of the Ponzi scheme where I'm like, you don't understand.
That's what all the mob guys say and everyone else. It wasn't me. I was pulled into it. It wasn't me. You know what? If it wasn't you, you wouldn't have went on those rides, you know, in way shorter than everybody else standing there in the middle of a pandemic in Disney World.
On one other side, I'll give credit for Disney. They don't play around with the mask rule. When I was on Space Mountain, the people on the other cart, like literally over the loudspeaker, they were screaming, "Get your mask on or we're stopping the ride."
Do you think the characters have masks under the masks?
I would assume just on, because there's so, I mean, it's Disney and the last thing in the universe, they want to keep their money flowing. So they're going to do everything extraordinary by the book to ensure that there's no kind of contract tracing that goes back to Disney. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're in Florida, which is just begging for like Ebola type numbers right now. But
yeah. It's imagine. You think your job stinks. Imagine being Mickey in the Florida heat with a mask on and then a Mickey head on. But well, anyway, bro. I hope you make it up to the universe this week, and you really strap it down and put some good vibes back into the universe because, I don't know, man. I feel like the fourth layer. Like you said, you were the third layer. Now I feel like I know this information about you, and now maybe I'm gonna look into the disabled pass when I go to Disney.
Well, like you said, my wife will find out when you're going to Disney. My wife might kidnap Shay and say, you can grab your child here in Walt Disney World in lovely Florida at the Pop Century Resort for four fabulous nights.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed your time with Oxygen Lady and your big hats and your haunted camping tents and the mimosa liquor.
Oh, one other sad note. I lost a hat. I was on a ride and I didn't realize there was a remote stick.
Good. That good.
Moved it around.
Karma.
And then like I spinned it around. I'm like, damn it, I lost my hat, and I felt bad. But the wife ordered a new hat.
So. Oh, thank goodness that.
Say something. Thank about going to Disney with Shay.
Okay, so the wife is here. Her laser like hearing heard Disney and Shay, and she's already. She has a notebook. She's ready to go right now, Scott. She goes,
let's play.
On that note, Berlew, anything to promote before we get out of here? Because that's a 3.5 hour podcast, and we are already.
Yeah, you're trapped, buddy. I'm sorry. I guess I'll promote. There's a new brewery coming out where I work in Kennesaw. It's called Horned Owl Brewing. They just opened up a couple days ago. You know, with 2020 the way it is, we want to support local businesses. I can't wait to get out there and try out some of their beers. I'm really excited. Kennesaw has been growing. We got like four breweries over there, but the new ones on the block. They're called Horn Owl Brewing. Check them out, hornbrewowling.com.
All right, and I will promote a relatively new podcast. And it's actually from the brothers of one of our longest time fans, Dom Bagnato and Kim Bagnato. Three brothers I used to play actually soccer with. They started a podcast called Tifosi Time, which is all talk about Serie A, which is Italian soccer, all things Juventus. So you're into soccer and you're into supporting a new podcast, check out Tifosi Time. They are every Monday, 9 p.m. on YouTube.
I thought you were saying they would talk about the country Syria. I was like, wow, didn't you got enough for a podcast on that?
Yeah, yeah. It's all Syria all the time.
Remember that one good day they had about 40 years ago?
Yeah. Three Italian brothers talk about Syria every Monday night at 9.
Now that I would turn on in a heartbeat.
With that, guys, that brings us to the end of another episode. I want to thank East of June for coming on. Great interview. Thank you for spending this hour and a half with us. The other 23 and a half hours are, no, 22 and a half hours are without us, and they're up to you. But thank you for taking some time out of your day. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.